Okay, today's daf is Daf Yud, and we're still we nearly finished the previous Amud, so Daf yesterday. So let's go back over that. So it says, "Mitoch." So if you remember, we were differentiating with Shen. If it was Chesek Rishus Rabin, where he'd be part, do we still have to pay what he benefited? So the question is, what does that mean? So Rav Amar, Achla Seurim, even if he ate barley, which is a food that is ra'ui, good for an animal to eat, he would pay only tevin. Tevin is just basic straw or whatever, regular produce. Now, the reason for that is, even though you could have fed your animal barley, now I'll show you the Pnei Moshe. It says, Afilo hachi, einu mashalem, you don't have to pay tevin because lefishia cholomar, lo hayiti ratzoni la'achilo tevin. Look, I didn't have to give my animal the best food. I was happy to feed it regular sort of base food. I would have been satisfied with my animal paying that. So therefore, you only have to pay that base amount, right? Even lower. In terms of Masha and Hennet. Because again, Mikra in your Patur Shen Brishas Rabbi, but let's compensate for the benefit you got. However, Hatan Rebchia Upalig. We've got a machl, it seems to be cholik on this. Lefi she'im achlach, now, the fichach im achachitin is really the safer of what we're trying to prove from. So to appreciate this, you have to look at the Marafulda. He says, Resha the Bright, the beginning of this Bright is as follows. We say, Omnim kama adam rotzele echol behemoto davar haraui. Meaning, how much would someone want to pay to feed their animal something that is fitting for the animal? Fitting for the animal means, etc., etc. We'll get to that in a minute. But the Varara Ui, the Marafulda explains, Hainu Se'orim. That's barley, that's something fit for an animal. So there's two ways to understand Mashanid. Mashanid is what I could get away with, if you like. That's what Rav is saying, what I could basically just get away with, bare bones to feed my animal. That's a benefit it's gaining. And here we're saying, no, Mashura Ui, which is barley. Meaning, people do feed these, like, for example, cows a good feed of barley if they want to fatten it up, I don't know, or something like that. So, therefore, that's a level you have to pay. That seems to be machloket. That's why, sorry, the bright that Reb Chiya brings is not the same, is cholak on a Mishnah. And that's why the bright continues. What if it went to, and this animal in the public domain ended up eating chita? Now, chita, which is wheat, seems to be detrimental to the animal. So if he goes out and does that, then he wouldn't have to pay anything. Why? Because once again, he's not paying for any damage when it comes to Shein Rishus Rabim. It's only, oh, you've benefited, so pay what you benefit. Here, since it's actually going to be compromising the animal, it's going to be detrimental to the animal. Therefore, you don't have to pay anything at all. Okay. Shinat v'achla, mishlem nezek shalem. Now, that's strange. What that actually means, if we translate the words, is if he does some sort of shinoi and eats, he would pay full damages. Now, that doesn't make any sense because normally, as soon as you have a shinoi, it becomes what? It becomes keren, and you have to pay chatzin ezek. So that's why the Gemara immediately asks, Mao shinat v'achlam shalem shalem? What does that mean? He did a shinoi now to pay nezek shalem. So it will give two answers. The first one is, Haitaku pata mushpelet lacharav. The Barushat Rabbeinu paret pia v'achla meshalem nesek shalem. So it's not a shinui in what the animal's eating. It's a shinui, not even in the you know. It's a normal practice the way the animal's going ahead. That's why it's nesek shalem. What's strange is someone happens to have a basket of food on behind them, and the cow's and is walking in front of a cow, and the cow sticks his head in and eats it. Now that is a shinui in the sense that it's no, even though the animal's situated in Rishus HaRabim. It did a shinui, if you like, and it ate from someone's bag, which you said before. It's like eating from someone's hand. It's like eating in Rishut HaNizak, and then you'd be chayev. So it's a shinui in terms of what's happening in Rishus HaRabim, but the practice, the animal is very normal. It's just as it's walking along, it sees food in front of its face, it eats it. So therefore, you pay nezek shalem because again, it's considered Rishus HaYachid. Okay, that is the first way. The second one is you've got a sog, which is like a basket, shenatumba petach chanut. It's in the opening of a shop, if you like. Chetzi bifnim v'chetzi bachutz. Pashta paret nezek shalem. So what's happening here? You've got a basket that's bridging a chanut. If it's outside, it'd be patur. No, you don't have to pay mashne in it. The part that's inside, he has to pay nezek shalem. Now, what's the shinui the animal's doing? It ends up eating, in other words, normally what you'd expect is if there's food in front, you start with the food in front of you. The shinui, if you like, the animal did something different, even though it's staying in the public domain, and put its head over food it would in patur for, and ate food that's inside the chanut, that basket. Therefore, it's not a shinui in the sense of the way it's eating, But it's eating normally in Rosh HaRabim, but sorry, Rosh HaYachid, therefore it's Chayim Mishum. Now the Shinui is just again in the in not in the practice of what an animal's doing, otherwise it'd be Karen, but in terms of the location of where these items are. That's kind of what we're saying. Okay? But it's not a significant shui to make a Karen. So there's two ways to explain what it means now when it's Shinit Va'achla Meshalak Nezek Shalem, because otherwise it's very difficult to understand. Because again, if it's a genuine Shinui, you'd have to pay Chatzin Nezek. Yafer. Let's now begin the next mission. This is Halacha Hey. Got a dog or a kid, as in a young goat, that jumped from a roof and broke kelim. And as it landed, we say nezek shelem, meaning that's not considered strange. Dogs jumping off roofs and goats jumping off roofs is the normal way. That's just like them walking on the street. And therefore, since it's normal, it'd be what? It'd be regel, if you like, and considered breaking it. Yeah, fair. Now the Gemara says, what about kelev? Shenatal charara, we've got a dog that took like a cake or a loaf, and on it was a coal, right? And he takes it and puts it on, like he chaps it from a fire. You can imagine there's bread on a fire, and he chaps it, grabs it, and it has some coal stuck on it. He goes and places it on a stack of wheat. Achlat charara, he ate the food thing he ate, but lo and behold, it seems he took a coal with him. Hidlikat lagdish. The whole stack goes up in flames. So we say, Vilita Gdish, Alacharara Meshalem Nezek Shalem. On the Charara, it's normal Shen, he's eaten something, so he has to pay for the Charara itself. But like this, it's Chatzin Nezek. Now, Chatzin Nezek, why? Because it's a Shinoi. No? So the Gemara is going to have to explain this in a minute. Okay? Now, the Shinoi, that's actually interesting because the way the Baal Fuld explains it now, when it comes to the Charara, it's Chetzi nezek, he explains on the Mishnah first, the chetzio de kelev hu vayinu tzarot. He says it's based on tzarot, but we have to get to the, is it a minute, is it tzarot, is it keren, well, what's going on? So the Gemara now says, now, I remember, Dov, when we were talking about, before Esh, is it mishum chetzo shemamono, you were sort of like, it needs some processing. We had some kashas on it, but here we see the debate come to the fore, as the Gemara will say in a moment. But look, before we get to that point, that's the first point the Gemara wants to address is the dog jumping off the roof. So akelev agdi shekafzu merosh hagag. So it tani tani shekafzu, it tani tani shenaflu. There's two teachings in the Mishnah. One is that this dog jumped down. Another one, it just fell. So Gemara says you can't have the one that fell. Amrav kenam and it must be shekafzu, because again, if it's paying nezek shalem, if you pay, the owner's responsible to pay full damages, it must be as some sort of practice that is considered normal for the animal, right? That it's jumping down, and it happened to land on this on the thing that it broke. However, if it's naflu, we say lo bada. That's not the case. Now, why not? Lo bada, according to the Mar Fulda, he explains lo shiru matnitim bazeh. The Mishnah's not dealing with if it just fell, because if it fell, mishum davale ones. If the animal's walking slipped and fell, then it's ones. Ah, but one second, vafagav the tchilato b'pshia here. Despite, why don't you say the fact that you let your animal walk in that dangerous location, you were negligent. And even if the end is honest, you should still be responsible for that. We say, no, that there's a machloket. And according to here, it seems to be that he's of the opinion that even if you the beginning was pshia, because the end result was honest, you'd still be pato. Okay, that's why the Tanna in our Mishnah must be talking about shekaftzu and not shenaflu, because if it was naflu, it would have been patur. Okay, now we're going to get to the case of Esh, with this interesting case of this kelev that picked up this loaf with a coal attached to it and lit some fires. So the Gemara says, why is he chayev on the whole stack? So Reish Lakish says very simply, we're talking about the matzit et ha'or al kol shibolet v'shibolet. What happened is, this dog seemed to, if you like, as he was taking the coal, sorry, he's not eating the coal, the charara with the coal attached to it, he's actually lit every point along the way of this stack. Now, why does Reish Lakish says it had to be in that cave? Rabbi Yochanan's going to be cholek. That is because now what we're going to do is going to go a bit through this a bit more slower and go through the Mara Fulda. He says, Dim Loken, the question is, Kasha lama yichayev al kol agdish chetzinezek. Why would the person be chayev chetzinezek for the whole stack? Why? Dehai manda amar Reish Lakish of the opinion of Sfiro Esh o mishum mamona. That Esh One is responsible of the fire just because it's like they're any property, like they're the damage is done like by their ox or anything like that. Vayesh, but this Esh, Lav Mimona Dideh, is not his own, is not his money. This dog went up to someone, random person, picked up a coal and dropped it on the thing. Lav Didehu, Ela Mimona de Balacharara. It's going to be the property, the Esh, if you're saying it's Mammon's property, then and responsibility, it was really, okay, the owner of the coal be responsible? No, because someone else flipped it out. But you can't say, it's Balacharara. So therefore, the Imishum now want to say, what about Srorotu, Al Shargdish? We say, Hare Mimakom Gachelet Ve'elech Dalka Esh Me'alav. But in other words, what about you say, okay, you dropped it there, and why are you chayev on tsurot? Because we talk about chain reactions where someone flicks up a stone, it flicks up and breaks something else. Why should you be chayev tsurot? We said no. Because if you remember in the case where he dropped a bucket and it went straight down, if it's a natural reaction, we don't look at that as tsurot. Okay. So the Gemara says, but Kamosha perish gam ken lel. So gam delish nafala dli chavero, that guy just explained. Lechen tzarich le'okmei shehitzit ha'chelev et ha'esh b'chol shibolet v'shibolet. So therefore, another interesting, if you say eshu mishu mamona and it's not his mamon, how can it be chayev for the rest of the fire? So that's why Rish Lakish says it must be the dog literally took this coal and lit every little bit of the gdish. Okay? That, and a careful, then if that's the case, v'hadalo, if that's the case, why isn't he chayev nezek shalem then? So the answer must be Moki, the Gemara explains in the Bavli, Aliba the Reish Lakish, the Aduya Aduya, the Havali Shune Pachatzinezek. Meaning this dog didn't in his mouth put it down. What he was doing is you can imagine he was flicking it. He was flicking it. Maybe he saw the coal on it, trying to get it off. So he's picking it up and flicking it and flicking it. Now that's a shinoi. So it's really interesting. In other words, the charara, he ate the charara is chayev. Why is he chalav on the rest of the Gedish? If you say Eshu Mishu Mamona, and that's really the property of somebody else, it must be that the dog lit every little bit of it. But then why is he chayav nezek shlem? Because he didn't do it directly. He did some sort of shimon, was flicking it about. Yafeh. This dog was like flicking it around. But I'm not going to get involved in the Bavli now, because the Bavli refers to only like the first place, but here we're saying the whole thing is like that. Okay, that's Reish Lakish. Esho Mishum Mamono. Rabbi Yochanan always says, no. Nase kezorek et hachetz mimakom makom. He says, Esho Mishum Chetzo. Now, Chetzo means as follows. Let's have a look at the, like, it literally means like an arrow. But I'll show you the mouthful again. Mishum mishalem. Interesting. What he's saying is, when you say Eshu Mishum Chetzo, you look at everything the fire is doing as being if you like, direct action of the person who put it down there, the lighting of it. Okay, it's not like its own being that's moving on its own. It's considered, it's still connected to the direct actual person who did it there. But since, if you like this animal, he says, since it's a chetzo de kelev, well, how did the chetz of a kelev, well, that sounds like tzurot. That's exactly what tzurot is. Tzurot is the dog's walking, or the animal's walking in the Rosh Hashanah and flicks up a stone. That's a chetz. That's exactly the thing. I've flicked up a chetz from, like, I've shot up an arrow, I've shot up a pebble. That's chatzin ezek. So therefore, that's how Rabbi Yochanan explains very simply. This whole case is really not even that complicated. The dog just puts it down. It's considered chetzu mishum kelev. Therefore, it's tzurot yichvayet chatzin nezek for the rest of the stack. Okay. So those are the two. In other words, what is actually happened to mechayev the baal ha, the, sorry, the owner of this dog for the whole stack, really depends on how you understand esh. Is it mishum mamona? Is it mishum chetzel? If it's mishum mamona, it has to be direct nezek on every single thing. If it's mishum chetzel, it's not a problem. He pops it down. The whole thing's considered tzurot. Yeah, fair. That's the thing. Now the Gemara says, Amar of Yitzhak bar Tavlaya. He says, Matnita Messiah, we've got a right here that seems to support, really, actually Mishnah, sorry, that seems to support, change the gears here, Rabbi Yochanan. Again, Rabbi Yochanan says, Eshu Mishum Chitzo, meaning all that the fire is doing is still considered direct result of your action, like an arrow shooting through the sky. Why so? Because here we have it's weird. Mishnah, I thought it was Shabbos, but anyway, Hayagdi kaput lo ve'eved samuch lo. This is what's happening here. So you have a gdi, it's a kid tied up next to this stack. Ve'eved and eved is samuch lo. V'nisrafim, what, everything gets burnt. What are you chayev on? You're chayev on the monetary damage you did. So just to explain, this is from Perek HaKones, yeah. It says, However, if, however, Eved kaput lo, if there was an Eved that was tied down right there, and the Gdi was samuch lo, then it's something you're patur from the monetary damage. Why? Very simply, because you've murdered somebody. And we say, Kimlei b'derabimine. When you're chayiv mita, you're patur from tashlumin. In other words, we don't give someone multiple punishments. He's chayiv mita, execute the monetary stuff we put aside. Okay? V'hainu, that is now, this again, Mara fooled again. We work through this carefully. This is exactly like Rabbi Yochanan. Why? De'ilu Resh Lakish, if it's his mammon who. Now, if you say Esho Mishum Mamona, okay, then it would be equivalent to an ox going and killing an Eved. If an ox goes and kills an Eved, what's the din? Well, Milo Machayev Shloshim Le'Eved, you still have to pay monetary compensation. So therefore, Al Harigat Hashor. So therefore, we must look at this Esh being like a chet, like a direct action of the person who lit it, and therefore it's like you directly killing this Eved. Now you've got the whole parsha of Kimle b'Darabinei. Yechayiv Mita. Okay? And because Yechayiv Mita, Kimle b'Darabinei on the Eved that was tied around and couldn't have escaped, that's why you're patur for the monetary parts of compensation. Just to explain the ratio, the reason why you're patur on the Eved, because we assume the Eved could have got away, because he's in the situation where he wasn't tied down. In the first case, where he was tied down completely, well, Yechayiv Mita, it's like that, you know, this therefore seems to support the position of Rabbi Yochanan Smitrum Chetzio. Okay, the Gemara says, if you say it's not Mishum Chetzio, like shooting an arrow Mimakom, if you say it's not like that, then you should be, in other words, if you want to say like Rabbi Shidrash Lakish, that it's Mishum Mamona, then have a look. Al Shibo to show non it Chayiv Mita, Michan Ve'elech Tashlumim. Then you should be only Chayiv on the Sorry, you'd only chayav on the first shibolet, but if you like from that point on, we should be chayav on tashlumin. So just to explain, this is Mara fooled again. Once again, he says, "Ima merat sha'rei mikan ve'elech etch me'atzmo holech." From that point onwards, any of the continuing fire that's burning after the Eved's been killed, that's going on its own. If you want to say it's mammon, it's not considered. In other words, mishum chetzio, it's still considered direct action. Fine. So you chayav kimle v'derabba minei. But if it's Mushum Mammon, it's two different things. Now, the Mammon is like, if you like, continuing to burn the fire after the murder has been committed. It's on its own. Mishum now, sorry, here, sorry, this is, oh, sorry, I missed a bit. I missed a bit. So that's the next, sorry, that's the next case. But the Shabbos one is the next case. I got a bit ahead of myself. But like, okay, I'll pause the Perashia. I want to read the next case because the same Perash kind of works together. So let me just explain. So Amr Yossi, let's say an ox lights a fire, lights a stack of on Shabbos, right? And he'd be chayiv for the damage. If you light a fire on Shabbos, then you're patur for the damage that you've caused on to this stack of wheat. Why? Because once again, kimble ben arbeni. So, if who should look at the gesh b'shava patur? The Gemara says, im omer at she'enu kozorek tachetz. If you want to say that it's not mishum chetzio, it's only mishum amona, yaseh mikishol alav tashlumim, michan ve'elech yu chay b'tashlumim. So I'll just explain this now in Rav Fulda. So let's go back to Rav Fulda. I started, unfortunately, a bit too early. In other words, once again, if you say mishum amona, you machal Shabbos in the beginning with the first little lighting. It's not considered a continuing an action anymore if it's Mishum Mamon or Mishum Chetzio. So from that point onwards, Mikan Ve'elech, let's read the, let's go to the Marfulder again. Sorry, I got ahead of myself again. So Sharei Mikan Ve'elech Esh Me'atzmo Holech Ve'eno Chayv Ala Mishum Hadlakat She'esh B'Shabbos. It's going, you're not Chayv Mishum Hadlakat Esh on Shabbos for the rest of the fire. It's not as if you're lighting the fire. It's the Mamon. It's Mamon's moving on its own. So there's a financial responsibility there. V'yechayv Ala Shar Tashlumin. So therefore you should be Chayv for the rest of the stack of wheat. Just like your ox going and lighting the rest of that stack of wheat, you're chayv to for the compensation there. Elavade must be elavade kol masha esh holech as the fire is continuing to burn. It's like your chetz, like your arav kilu hu atzmo. It's like you're continuing to light every shibboleth. Okay, so just to explain the last case outside because I sort of jumped around a bit, but in other words. We're trying to bring a further proof like Rabbi Yochanan, the Eshel Mishum Chetzio, not Mishum Mamona, because it seems to differentiate between whether your ox lit someone else's stack of wheat on fire. In that case, you're chayev. Clearly. There's no Kimele Barabim in there. Your ox lighting the Chiyuv Shabbos for you, obviously you're chayev. If you light it, it says you're patur completely. Why Kimele Barabim in there? Now, question is, if you say Eshem Mechitzio, it's like you're lighting every stack, every little bit of wheat, even though you're not physically doing it. As the fire is spreading, it's still connected to you, considered an extended action of yourself, like shooting an arrow. And therefore, there's a chilul Shabbos you're doing with every little bit. So kimle merabe now, the entire stack. That seems to poor Rabbi Yochanan. That's why it makes sense. But otherwise, if not, if you want to say mishum amona, then the first little thing, act you did, you're machal Shabbos, you're patur for, let's say, the first shibboleth. Fantastic. But what about the rest of it? It's holech me'alav. It's like your ox going and lighting something. So you should be chayiv there. It's not a chil. You're not like you're doing a chilul Shabbos for every single other bit of wheat in that stack. Therefore, should be chayiv. So there shouldn't be really much of a difference between the two. And therefore, that's why it's a further proof Rabbi Yochanan. Again, the way to, if you like, the Maror Fulda points out, the way to answer this as being a proof, the Brayta's talking about a person who goes and gets a torch, if you like, and runs across the entire stack and lights every single one. That would be a way of saying, if you like, that that's why he's patur for the whole stack, because he's done a chilul Shabbos with every single act he's done. Okay, but that's we'll put that aside. Now let's do one little more piece. So Chatan Barnash, there was an individual, Afik Paltira Bapura. What he did, he took his paltira, as paltar, as in like his bread and the oven, and placed it outside in Rosh Hashanah. Avar Chamra Batavri, and a donkey comes along and knocks and breaks it. Atav Kamir Yitzchak Bar Tavlaya. The incident came before Yitzchak Tavlaya. Now, interesting as well, that's why, in other words, the Maror Fulda points out that not really clear why this piece is being brought here, but it might be as well because of Yitzchak Tavlaya. It's what we just because we mentioned above. So Amalei, lo chev lecha klum. The owner of the donkey doesn't pay you cent for smashing your tanur. Velo od, ela she'im nizok. Not only that, if this donkey got injured in the process, you'd be chayiv, benisko, you'd be chayiv. So there's two ways to explain this. I'll just show you the Maror Fulda once again. It says he's not chayiv for anything from smashing your oven. Why? She'ein lecha reshut letzu tanur l'roshosam. What gave you the right to put your oven in the public domain? And vasita, not only that, by doing that, you created a dangerous obstacle, that which is a malacha v'tzita bo b'rishus harabim. Lefichach, he is patur if this animal knocked into it. K'nat nam b'resha maniach et akad v'shavra patur. If you put your jug in the b'rishus harabim, someone trips on it and smashes it, he's patur on the kad, and you buy chayiv for the damage you caused. Inami gives another reason. Inami sverle karav gwaika kola meshaneh. It's interesting. In other words, we saw before that according to Rav, in a case of that, if someone's Mishana and you're Mishana, mean the victim's also Mishana, you'll be patur. That's another way of explaining it, with that relates to what we learned before. Okay, beseder. I think we'll stop here. Everyone have a good yontov. Have a Chag Sameach, specifically on this yontov of Sukkos. All right, cold. So take it.
Sameach Tov.